Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. It is the Luton preview show. It is Mick, as always, and I'm joined once again by, it hasn't been a couple of months or weeks, it was only last week, but it is Jamie again. Jamie, how are you doing?
Hey, Mick, doing great. Can't wait to talk the Reds, can't wait to talk Luton, so it should be a good chat.
Yeah, I feel bad every time I ask you on a show, because it's always like literally crack of dawn for you to get up, and I always feel bad dragging you out of bed, but it's always a good show. And yeah, talking about Luton and the Reds playing more games of footy is always good. But I was just looking yesterday about like when we last played them, because I knew it went for a while, and 15 years ago back in 2008 when we played them in the FA Cup, we drew 1-1 at their place and then beat them 5-0 in the replay at Anfield. And then I think everyone remembers the 2006 one where we beat them 5-3 at their place. Alonso halfway line goals, and Gerrard scoring beauties, and then Gerrard falling over post match interview. There's loads of funny stuff. But that, even back then, when you think about it, Liverpool had a decent side, and it was a bit of a typical FA Cup tie, I guess, where we were a bit all over the place, but we ended up getting over the line in the end. But just on Luton this season, then, Jamie, because the 18th on 5 points, and we were just talking about before we started recording about they've only beat Everton so far, which at home, which is at Goodison, which is even funnier. But what are you expecting from them this season? Because I think everyone's just expecting them to go straight back down, but they've had, I think, 5 points from the game so far. I think is maybe better than I expected in the most respectful way I can say it.
Yeah, no, with all due respect to Luton, it's a very competitive Premier League that they've come into. And it'll definitely no doubt be a journey that their fans will never forget. They're ideally hoping to, you know, skin by and scrape by the skin of their teeth to stay in the Premier League. I think that would have been every Luton fan's objective at the beginning of the season. But when you talk about teams having double the points that you have, and the team that will use as the barometer, even though they beat them, is Everton, it's not looking good for you almost a quarter of the season in if Everton have double the points that you do. So they're not exactly in the stickiest of situations yet, but at this point now, between now and Christmas, they'll be wanting to get maybe 2 to 3 wins together before the new year to ideally have a hope of getting somewhere close to 30 points to stay up. We'll see what happens. But for me, this should hopefully be a game that we take seriously and hopefully can put to bed quite quickly away at a ground that will be absolutely sensational to play at in the Premier League in Kenilworth Road.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, we're fortunate because we never really have to look towards the bottom of the league very often, apart from maybe the Roy Hodgson's days when we were in the relegation zone and all that. Let's not talk about that. But when you do look down there, like Sheffield United are on 1 point, Burnley are on four, Luton are on five, you've got Bournemouth on six, you've got Forest on 10, Everton on 10, Fulham on 12. So it's still quite tight down there like it is at the top of the league. So, and that kind of the only thing that annoys me a little bit with Everton, because they've scraped by getting away with relegation for the past, what, three seasons by just three teams being shitter than them. And I feel like this season's going to be the same for Everton. But I do feel like Luton have got some decent players and whatever. And I think Bournemouth being down there and Forest being down there, I think, yeah, I mean, 10 games in, like, obviously it's still early days and that, but I do think they've got a good chance of staying up, especially if they start, like you said, if they get a couple of wins over the board. And of course, when they're taking teams to their ground, they need to make that a bit of a, try and make it as much of a fortress as they can, because with the atmosphere that they can create. But I just feel like down there, it's looking very tight already, but I just feel like the likes of Burnley and Sheffield United, have they got enough to kind of get a few wins over the board? I don't know. I think it's interesting to keep an eye on, I think.
It's one of the best things about football and the Premier League is there's action and relevancy at all levels of the table with, you know, probably 70% of teams in the Premier League have something to play for the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season. And Luton will certainly be a team that is probably fighting for their lives. You can never know who will really stay up at this stage. I mean, half the teams that it seems like went down last year or were down and around the bottom of the table last year beat Liverpool. So, you know, you never know. Any team on any day can come and hurt you. The one thing I want us to, you know, avoid as much as possible that I went back and noticed a little bit in the Spurs game is for this generation of supporters at Luton playing at Kenilworth Road in the Premier League, every single time a big team comes to their patch, there will be this potential of the most special moment to ever occur in a Luton fans, you know, in their generation of fans, because I think Spurs went there 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now we'll go there. This will surely be the biggest game that many supporters have seen at Kenilworth Road in this iteration of the generation of Luton fans. And as much as possible, you want to avoid playing into the crowd, playing into the atmosphere, because if you can go and put the game to bed early versus letting Luton hang around, it'll drastically lower the amount of pressure and resistance that you'll take in the game.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and that kind of brings us on to what Liverpool might be doing then, because if you look back at Liverpool's previous Premier League game, the decent win over Forest, who are down there as well, 3-0. We had Alisson in goal, Trent, Konate, Van Dijk, Tsimikas, Szoboszlai, McAllister, Gravenberch, Salah, Nunes, and Jota. What do you think in terms of then maybe any changes? Because I believe Curtis Jones will be back for this one, so there's a shout for Jones to come in for Gravenberch, maybe, especially because it's away from home. Maybe he's got more experience and knows the system a little bit more to those counter presses and stuff like that. Even though Gravenberch's been great since he came in, I think Jones has obviously got the lead on him because of how well he done last season and the beginning of this season. So, and then up top, there's of course the Diaz situation still isn't sorted out yet, so he won't be available either. So there's a few different options that we can go for this one, isn't there?
Yeah, and that's the beauty of the squad that we've cultivated. Obviously, you know, when a player of Luis Diaz caliber isn't available for selection, it should really hurt most teams in the world. And Liverpool certainly isn't as good without having the ability to count on him. But in these past two games, in his absence, you can see the quality that Liverpool has in and around the front and the attacking threat players from the midfield that we can throw into the fray. We've got lots of options to score goals. And so if Luis Diaz can come back into the side and is sound and mentally right to go, you know, that's just another level that we can raise at Kenilworth Road. But I personally would like to see Jones come back and start. I think that the way that he's been playing for the last year or so has been absolutely tremendous. And it really seems like Liverpool win all the games that Curtis Jones plays. And it really seems like Liverpool tick and are going at a really good pace when Curtis Jones is in the side. Gravenberch has done quite well since. I mean, it's difficult for Klopp to trust you so wholeheartedly, so quickly. But with this season, we've seen Dominic come straight in. We've seen Alexis McAllister come straight in. You know, Ryan Gravenberch getting signed right at the end of the window as not having a preseason, getting so many repetitions in the side so quickly. With that being said, I really do think Curtis Jones has earned his place, and I would love to see him start the game. I suspect we'll probably get one or two interesting things on game day when the team sheets are released. I wouldn't be surprised, like I said, to see Gomez still somehow feature, if it's at left back or at right back, and Trent is playing in the midfield the way he did versus Bournemouth, or Darwin to start in one place and Cody to start in another, maybe Darwin on the left, Cody through the middle, or maybe Cody in the midfield. So I definitely think there might be one to two little tweaks that happen, because Klopp always throws those in, I feel.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Well, the good thing is, like, when you look back at the Bournemouth game, like, Van Dijk and Konaté both didn't get on the field, which we still won the game, which is great. Nunes only played 60. Trent only played half an hour. Curtis Jones played 60. McAllister played half an hour. Szoboszlai played 75. And Gravenberch played 15. So there's been a nice balance, especially in the last game, where not everyone's played 90 minutes as well. So it's keeping... It's that game management that I've seen us do a little bit more this season, where not when we're 2-0 up and you think, right, let's keep everyone on because we could concede a goal, and if it does, we will crumble this season. It's more like once we're 2-0 up, we've got the ability to close the game out by keeping the ball with those players you mentioned, like the Szoboszlais and the McAllisters. You can retain the ball better and just keep us ticking over in our end of the field and just keeping it ticking over, and you're able to bring off the likes of Nunes and whoever else you want, just looking ahead to other games to try and keep them fresh, because we know the games come thick and fast, especially as we're approaching December, where there's going to be games every 3 days basically. So we need to be keep as many people fresh as we can. But I agree with Curtis Jones. Like I don't know. I haven't really looked on. I don't really look on like Twitter and that these days at like the general perception. But I was thinking like back to when he first broke through and people were questioning them and whatever, and then the end of last season I think maybe shut those people up as much as possible. But there's always going to be doubters about Curtis Jones, because I mean, I don't know why. I honestly don't know, because a local lad coming through, you should be giving him so much time and energy and praise for coming into a side that's so good and elevating it and making it better and kind of taking that position. And I mean, he spoke recently where he was talking about like he came in and then he reached a level where he didn't know how he was going to get any better. And he kind of had to like study himself and learn from the coaches and learn from other players about his weaknesses and how he can improve on them. And I think we've seen that. I think we've seen the evolution of Jones in terms of how good he is on the ball and just pressing. And I think he used to keep hold of the ball maybe too much, but I don't think he does that. I think he picks his right moments now. He'll keep hold of it for just the right amount of time and then he'll pass it off and then make a move and make a 1-2 or... And it's closing from the... It's running forward and closing from the front. Like the amount of times where their goalie's got it and the first player you see is Curtis Jones absolutely busting a lung to get towards the goalkeeper. Even if he doesn't make contact, it's about that pressure and constant pressure, and it sets the press for everyone else as well. So loads of good stuff you could say about Curtis Jones. So it is massive, like you say, to have him back coming into this side. And I think it's interesting what you said about Gomez, because for me, like Konate and Van Dijk not playing, I think that says to me that they're going to both start. I think it is interesting maybe because Tsimikas played the whole 90 against Bournemouth. So whether you see Gomez over there, I think we mentioned this on the last show together, like you could see Gomez over that side. And then, like you said, when Trent goes into midfield, you've basically got the back three all filled with centre-backs. And whether that affects maybe the ability for Gomez to overlap or run down that side, I don't know. But I think we've seen Gomez, again, another player who, for me, I thought his time at the club was elapsing, similar to Joel Matip. And I think even in the last game against Bournemouth, I thought he was so impressive, like on the ball, making overlapping runs, constantly running, always assured on the ball. So I think that one's maybe a good idea. I don't know if it's for this game, maybe away from home, but I feel like we will see Gomez in that position at some point in the future, because I feel like on paper it definitely works, doesn't it?
If it has remnants this year of 21-22, the way Klopp has managed the squad. I mean, we're going through this period where, you know, you never want to count any chickens before they hatch, but with the way we've rotated and with the next three games, including Luton being quite winnable, being Luton, Toulouse, and then Brentford, if we were able to do it and do a clean sweep of seven in a row, it would be just absolutely massive for the indications of what this team is able to do. And like you said, Joe Gomez, Joel Matip having, you know, renaissance seasons, getting back to form that I don't know if every Liverpool fan, including myself, thought that they had in them. But I think the confidence this season is a completely different shift from last year. And the way that this team will be feeling is that they're empowered to go in their new roles with their new teammates and have a chance at doing things this year. Because I think the big difference between this year and last year was quite early. I think most Liverpool fans and most Liverpool players in the squad probably knew we're not going to win anything this year. But comparison to this year, every single player knows I've got an opportunity to get games because of how well we've done in every competition so far. And thus, the squad seems to be incredibly jubilant, up for it, and motivated, which is refreshing to see.
Yeah, I love that. I mentioned it on a show the other day, like about like Linders talking about like players that have won trophies and at Liverpool, and there's quite a few still here that have won everything, and then there's players that have come in and won trophies elsewhere, but they haven't experienced what it's like to win trophies at Liverpool. And I think that's a massive thing where we can give them the guidance to go on and do it for this club. Because I mean, Szoboszlai is a confident lad, but at the interview where he was talking about like we want to go and win everything, I loved it. I absolutely loved that. He said he wants to go and win all four. And there was a clip about Wataru Endo talking about like he wants to win everything he can. He wants to win the Premier League, of course. Why wouldn't you want? And Linders kind of got asked about that, and he said like, well, he's got confidence, and I'm not going to stop people dreaming about winning trophies, because that's what Liverpool should be doing. Last season, like you said, was you could tell straight away it was going to be. I mean, you were hoping it weren't going to be, but you could sense the signs that it was going to be a bit of a write-off, and we kind of righted those wrongs towards the end of the last season. But it's nice to see Liverpool back where we belong without being like too cocky, because the players that we've got, the way that we've changed the system and changed players by enforcement and by them just leaving end of contract and stuff, the way that we've done it is, and we keep saying it every week, is tremendous. And it's every game now is exciting. Like, you're going into Europa League games, you're going into Carabao Cup games, you're excited about them. You're like fully like on board with like who's going to play and what type of system we're going to go with, who's going to be playing where, and you're never disappointed. And Liverpool always are turning back into hopefully that mentality monsters type of team where we can hopefully see them start thriving even more. So yeah, there's loads to be excited about, which is great. I mean, it's a shame like the likes of Robertson and obviously Ben Doak still out, Bacetic and Thiago are still out. So the quality that we've still got in those four players that are still out is ridiculous as well. So even when those lads start to come back in, whenever that will be, then it's only going to be even better. Hopefully when we get towards the end of some of the competitions and we can get some of those players back, it'll only enhance what we've already got, which is, again, makes it even another level of more exciting. So, and yeah, then Jamie, we might as well go straight to score predictions then, the most exciting part of the show. Not really. I fucking hate it. I never. I always predict a Liverpool win, of course, but I never get the right score. But what are you thinking for this one?
I got 3-0 right last weekend.
Did you? Oh, nice one.
Yeah. Luckily, the Cody's goal being ruled out was good for my self esteem and what I think I know about football.
You know what? I'd love to see your reaction as that fourth went in. Were you gutted or?
No. I was going out to a birthday party, and so I had waited as long as I could until I knew the game was wrapped up to leave, and I had it on my phone, and I was watching like, oh, okay, let's see what happens. With obviously I was happy at Liverpool goal, you know, the prediction, I'm joking, but you know what, I'll do some reverse psychology on myself, because I predicted 3-0 last week, it's early here, and we got the fourth and then it was disallowed. I'll go 4-0 this weekend. 4-0. Another clean sheet. Why not?
Oh, I'd absolutely love that. I keep getting it wrong, but I mean, yeah. Luton, I always just keep thinking back to that game in like 2006 where it was a bit frantic and a bit mad, and hopefully that was obviously a completely different Liverpool side and whatever and style and whatever back then. Hopefully we've got a little bit more control over them this time, but I'm feeling like and this is the Christian special, 3-1. Like, he just before he says a word, I'm like, you're gonna say 3-1, we might as well just like just have that clipped up on a voice note and you just be quiet and I'll just play the voice note. So I'm gonna take a leaf out of the Christian handbook and go for a 3-1 to Liverpool. So yeah, I mean, a win by whatever, of course, it doesn't matter how we win as long as we win. Because we're talking about the bottom of the table, when you do look at the top of the table, we're in fourth on 23, City on 24, Arsenal on 24, Spurs on 26, and then you've got Villa just behind us on 22, which is, Emery's doing an incredible job there, 22 points out of 10 games. You've got Newcastle and Brighton on 17, you've got that other team on 15, Man United, but they've got Fulham away tomorrow, which I'm just praying for a lovely little early upset, early game on Saturday if United or Everton play and they lose, it just sets me day off perfect. I just go about my day absolutely made up. So hopefully Fulham can do us a favour there. But yeah, we'll leave it there, Jamie. Thanks very much again. Apologies for asking you to do a show at ungodly hours in the morning over in Boston, but always appreciate you jumping on. Really, really, really appreciate it. Nice one.
No, Mick, I'll always be here whenever you call. as you can see, I love chatting about the Reds. I'm still waking up a little bit. If we can clock it back another hour for the next show, I imagine the performance will spike up with another hour of sleep. But I love coming on the Cop-Eye podcast and chatting the Reds anytime, Mick.
Nice one. Yeah. I think we'll try and go for even an hour later, just so you can get an extra coffee down, you know, whatever, or extra bit of sleep, like you said. But yeah, as always, appreciate you jumping on. And as always, we appreciate everyone listening. Really do appreciate the support. So keep clicking, keep listening, and keep giving us I mean, if you've got time, leave us a little review on Spotify or Apple, or leave us a rating if it's quicker. But anything you can do like that can really help us out. So if you fancy doing it, then give it a go. But yeah, we'll be out. We're out of here. Nice one, Jamie. Nice one, everyone. And we'll see you all very soon. Nice one.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Kopi Podcast.
Podcast Network.